architects, if you need one, either turn those in through the offering plate or make sure they get to the office however you would like to do that. Now, two other instructions about worship I need to give you. One is the hard part is not singing. That's going to be the hard part. But we have our singers over there who will be singing on our behalf, and we invite you to read along with the words and to pray the words and to do prayer during that time. So it's what we encourage you to do. At the time of the peace, we'll, the lead worship leader and you will share the peace, but then there will be a piece of music sung and played, and we invite you to pray for peace with yourself, with others, with the community, with the world, with your neighbors during that time, because you can't go around shaking hands, so that's what we'll do at that point. Let's be patient and loving with each other as we get used to the adjustments we need to do to be able to be here safely. I know it's not always the most comfortable thing in the world, but this is what we need to do. You might be interested, this is about the same amount of people we had in the early service. So this is about 30, 35, something like that. So anyway, Jim, you wanted to make an announcement.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Gary. In fact, I'm going to let Amanda pan over. I am so excited to be back in full-time, face-to-face worship. It's so good to see you all. And it's my thrill to introduce you to our latest choral scholar. We have a bass choral scholar, Isaiah Mayhew. So let's give a nice welcome.
Okay. And looking over that way, I was reminded just before service, we've got a candle remembering those who are no longer with us. And as we gather, we have two who are here who are, this is their first time. They're brand new babies with us, right here on the front row if you haven't seen them yet. But anyway, congratulations. And Amanda.
Oh, I do get to make announcements.
Yeah.
Okay. You sound so excited about that, Pastor Gary. Just a reminder that we do still have our Sunday afternoon book study. It'll be at 2 o'clock online. If you haven't read the book, or if you're not caught up, I still have a chapter I need to finish. You're welcome to join us anyway. It's a great book. We're about a third of the way, half of the way done with it. It's Native by Caitlin Curtis. So we invite you to that. Also, looking at the ministry for our young people, since we're just now getting back into face-to-face worship, it's going to be a little while before we phase in Faith Launch, our Sunday school. But we are doing that virtually. And so we have bags for the kids, we have videos, things like that. The really great thing about doing that virtually is that anybody can participate anywhere. So if you have kids or grandkids or great-grandkids or nieces or nephews that are somewhere else in the country that would like to participate in our virtual Sunday school, they are more than welcome to. So we invite that. Just let me know, and we'd be happy to get them set up. I think that's all my announcements, Pastor Gary.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another.
Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have turned before our loving grace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves.
Hear the truth that God proclaims. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So since we only have kiddos in the front row, I'm going to come over here and do our children's sermon over here. Pastor Gary, if I sit on the steps, can you still see me?
Let's find out.
All right.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. That'll make this easier. Hey, everybody. So today, I have a rope. And sometimes, I think about a rope, and I think about, you know, how we go along in life, and we're hanging out. But sometimes we have something that happens. Maybe we don't share our toys or something like that, or we forget to pick up, and it gives us knots in our tummy because we know we were supposed to share. We knew we were supposed to pick up, but we made a mistake. That happens sometimes, right? Do we make mistakes sometimes? Yeah, we do. I do. I know Pastor Gary does. I know moms and dads do. Everybody makes mistakes. And so we still have our rope, right? It's all still there. We just have this one little knot in it. It'll be okay, right? We won't make any more mistakes. But uh-oh, I made another mistake. I forgot to share something with my brother. He liked cookies, and I ate the last one. Oops. So I'm going to tie another knot in this because we made another mistake again. Oops. And so we could keep going on and on and on like this for a long time. We could keep going because are we always going to make mistakes? We are. Things happen. We make choices, and sometimes they aren't always good ones, but most of the time they are. But you know what? You know what's so special about this rope? It's still together. And we know that God loves us so, so much. Watch, Charlotte. Charlotte, watch. We know that God loves us so, so much that God makes us new. That God makes us all new. I know, right? We have new life with Jesus, right? So when we make those mistakes and when we say, uh-oh, I forgot to share, uh-oh, I ate the last cookie, we know that even though we make mistakes, even though we have knots in our rope and things like that, God makes us new and God loves us so, so much all the time. All right? So can we pray together? All right, let's pray together. Let's fold our hands. Dear God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for making us new and helping us remember that other people are loved by you all the time, as well as us. And all God's children said, amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from Philippians. Paul writes, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. In his 2010 memoir, A Journey, My Political Life, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair shares the following story. He writes, "A friend of mine whose parents were immigrants, Jews from Europe who came to America in search of safety, told me this story. His parents lived and worked in New York. They were not well off, and his father died when he was young. His mother lived on, and in time my friend succeeded and became wealthy. He often used to offer his mother the chance to travel outside America, but she never did. When eventually she died, they went back to recover the safety box where she kept her jewelry. There they found another box, but there was no key, so they had to drill it open. They wondered what precious jewel must be in it, and they lifted the lid, and there was wrapping and more wrapping, and then finally an envelope. Intrigued, they opened it up. In the envelope were her United States citizenship papers. Nothing more. That was the jewel more precious to her than any other possession. That was what she treasured most." Now that's a touching story, and one we can probably learn from, not to take something so precious that comes to most of us so easily for granted. It's a good reminder to us. In St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, he wrote, "I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Christ Jesus is the greatest treasure we have, one we cling to and hold dear. But perhaps the pandemic has also taught us that we treasure some other things too. We've missed being here at church and being together, and now we realize that those things were more important to us than we knew. And so that's made me wonder, if we were to drill open Redeemer's safety box, what treasures would we find? Perhaps first, we would find wrapped up a warm, loving church family, We'd find a church family of love and compassion and care for one another, sharing one another's burdens, worries, tears, successes, and joys. A family to walk with us through our lives and to hold us in their hearts. That's real treasure. Perhaps we would find busting out of the box the ministries and outreach we do here. The sweat puddled under those folks who load trucks for Williamsburg County on a hot summer day, or the empty spaces in our homes where something was that we gave away to help others in need, or grocery bags filled with food and other items to put out in our blessing box to help people in need, or a pillow to help us think about those who help with family promise, or a piece of vinyl siding from a house that was destroyed in a hurricane that our donations helped to rebuild. That's real treasure. Or maybe we might find the many opportunities we have here to hear and learn God's word for our lives. Bible studies, Sunday school, special classes, youth meetings, daily Facebook devotions, and more. We get to encounter God reaching into our lives this way, right here in our own homes. That's real treasure. And even though the full choir isn't back yet, we do treasure our choir and our handbell choir that fill our worship with such beauty and inspiration and which lifts our hearts to God and other times brings God near to us. That's real treasure. Perhaps we would find in the box a coin as a sign of your generosity. The way you give and have given throughout this pandemic and now ongoing to continue the work and ministry of this church. That's real treasure. Maybe in that safety box we would find a hymnal to remind us of this hour of worship, the opportunity we have to come together here and online to worship and praise God with all we are, thankful for God's grace and love and generosity to us, thankful for this chance to draw near to God and express what is in our hearts. That's real treasure. And maybe we'd find in that box a chalice, a sign of Christ given for us, a sign of God's forgiveness, a sign of God's bold, brash, reckless love, a sign of grace needed, a sign of grace received. Now that's real treasure. For the past several weeks here at Redeemer, we've been going through our annual stewardship appeal, and the theme this year was, we are family. If there's anything we have learned over the past 6 months, it's how important this family of faith is to us. And we know in new ways now how much we desire to be and stay connected. It's been hard to be apart. But today we can celebrate that we can come back together. Today we can celebrate a church family where we belong and are loved. Today we celebrate the surpassing value of our Savior Jesus Christ. These are uncommon, extraordinary things. They are, we are, gifts from God. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died in the Spirit. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
It's time for our gathering of gifts. It's time to respond to the grace of God and our lives through our gifts. But while we can't pass the offering plate, I invite you to use this time to prepare your gift and consider other ways you might respond to God's grace. And if you're at home, you can find out to support the ministries of Redeemer in the opening comments of this live stream. So please listen and pray and think about those things while the choir does our song.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, who claims each of us as your own, every one of us are your beloved creation, molded and fashioned with your very imprint. God, we need your help. Some of us have trouble seeing ourselves as unconditionally loved. Some of us have trouble seeing other people as unconditionally loved. Help us to see ourselves and others as you see us. Lord, in your mercy. God, who stirs in the relationships of family, you created us to live in relationship with each other, giving us one another to love. God, we need your guidance. It is hard being a spouse, a sibling, a parent, a child, a grandparent, an extended family. Some of us struggle with being so many things for so many people. Some of us struggle with loneliness and lost relationships. Guide us to build strong families that care for one another as you care for us. Lord, in your mercy. God, who calls us to be the body of Christ, you formed us for community. You exist in community as the Trinity, God Creator, God Redeemer, God Sustainer. God, we need your inspiration. Some of us feel like we have no purpose in the body of Christ. Some of us feel the burden of carrying more than one share of the load. Inspire us to use our individual gifts to build up the body of Christ for your ministry in the world. Lord, in your mercy. God, who loves all the world, who lived, died, and rose again for all people everywhere. Your love is immeasurable and unending. There is enough for all. God, we need your presence. Be with all of those that are affected with this global pandemic. Be with those in areas that lack necessary medical gear, those that have lost loved ones, those whose future is uncertain, and those living in fear. We ask you to be with the Trump family, government officials, and all others that face a COVID-19 diagnosis. Lord, in your mercy. God, whose very being is within community, your heart aches when our hearts ache. You are our ever-present companion through all of life. God, we need your mercy and grace. Our society is being ravaged by racism, by pandemic, by poverty, and by climate changes. We watch as our friends, neighbors, and community deal with so much. We lift up prayers for individuals that are on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. God, creator of all things, you continue to create throughout time. You constantly seek reconciliation with all the world. You stir the winds of faith, hope, and love. God, how desperately we need your hope. Stir in us hope for the world. Stir in us hope for humanity. Stir in us hope for tomorrow. For it is only in you, O God, that we find hope. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Glory, 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 glory
night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Krista, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Mike, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ. Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that you have once again fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst. Guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.